So basically, Herb's introduction earlier was you can boil it down to one thing. It's my fault. That's just the way it is. It's my fault. Whatever it is, whatever's wrong, whatever's happening with Presbytery, it's my fault.
Just remember, I speak after you.
That's right. It's good to be here with you today, and I bring you greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ from. Great, now I got to stare at it. Bring you greetings from all your sister congregations in Trinity Presbytery. I would ask that you join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, in this time of being together but separate, we come to you to give all praise and honor. We humbly ask that in this time and through the week ahead, you would open our ears, open our hearts, and open our lives to your grace, which flows down like mighty streams. And in this time, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our scripture passage this morning comes to us from the Gospel according to Matthew, the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 9 and 18 through 23. Listen now for God's word to us from the Gospel according to Matthew. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root among the thorns and the since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. And still other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." And then later he explained to the disciples, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case a hundredfold, in another 60, and in another 30. May God bless the reading and hearing of God's holy word. Amen. Social grievance and angry protests across the country. School systems thrown into a quandary over online learning. Stagnant business operations and economic growth. Racial tensions at boiling levels. Political polarization and personal stress. Overzealous policing and underfunded mental health resources. Mounting pressures imposed by an unabated pandemic and social malaise spiraling upward. In times of economic stress and uncertainty, we tend to look for ways to safeguard ourselves, to pull in, to save money, to extend what we have, and to save for uncertain circumstances, to take our future into our hands. In times like these, to have an employee or a family member wasting resources is unthinkable. When we see such things happen, we believe we need to correct the problem so that we can provide for ourselves against whatever is threatening. Where do we find hope? When everything around us is crashing down. What does the parable of the sower say to the needs of people in our time? What is it that we are worried about? What are we fearful of? Where do we feel dismay or concern? In uncertain times, Walter Brueggemann, Old Testament theologian and scholar, wrote, "There is nothing ordinary about the key claims of biblical faith. Indeed, there is almost nothing about biblical faith that can be understood according to our usual analytical, scientific, objective or common sense control of life. The Bible is, rather, organized around the explosive moments when the holiness of God touches down in our midst and changes everything. Such touchdown moments are not sweet and romantic. They are not pious and religious. Rather, they are moments of threat and risk. When our worlds are shattered and everything is changed." And here we are. It appears that the sower is being not only wasteful, but irresponsible. The sower is throwing seed all over the place, on rocks, on the path, into the middle of weeds and thorns, and mostly on the good soil. We hear about his actions and they sound like they're irresponsible. Could there be a larger plan at work in the sower's actions? It appears that despite all our efforts, things are only continuing to get worse. The economy continues to struggle. The pandemic continues to rage through our communities. Is there any bigger picture that can give us some hope? Well, while there is no good news from the standpoint of crop production or income for the farmer, there is good news for the larger creation. Seeds are sown in all manner of places where some small change occurs. The birds are fed by the seed on the path. The rocky soil has, for a short time, a chance at improvement as the dirt is held in place. The thorns are infiltrated by beneficial seeds and Some small change occurs before the seedlings are choked out. In a similar manner, seeds are being planted in all manner of places we may not recognize, but which will and are bearing fruit. And that fruit contributes to the life of the larger world. In our own context, some examples include the Black Lives Movement, social justice efforts, addressing police brutality, changes in corporate behavior and responsibility, efforts for reform, all bring greater awareness by average citizens, and all are seeds that bring some slow improvement in the environment in which we live. But these examples do not come easily. Their pain and difficulty can lead to growth, but can also lead to anxiety, stress, and resistance. I don't know if you're aware of the story of First Presbyterian Church and First United Presbyterian Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. First United Presbyterian Church was founded in 1866 as a black congregation that came out of First Presbyterian Church in Charlotte. Located just a short distance from First Presbyterian Church, First United continued to feel the hurt and resentment of the change in relationship that led to their separation. Prior to the Civil War, slaves and owners worshiped side by side at First Presbyterian. But after the Civil War, the freed slaves were relegated to the balcony, and then later, the basement. This led to the founding of First United in 1866. Over the past 10 years, the two congregations were moving slowly toward some small, infrequent joint activities. In 2016, following the death of Keith Lamont Scott at the hands of a police officer and another civilian during the subsequent protests, the wound of racism began to bleed again. After serious study, reflection, prayer, and repentance, the session of First Presbyterian Church sent a letter seeking forgiveness from First United Presbyterian Church. The change in the relationship brought the two congregations together for joint worship twice a year. But when the pandemic struck, rather than putting everything on hold, the two pastors began to lead worship every Sunday together, side by side. At a safe distance, of course. The witness of the pastors preaching together weekly, spurred on by the health crisis, has brought the long-awaited and much-needed healing of the two congregations. Seeds were planted, and a harvest is coming up. See, when we listen to the parable of the sower, we tend to focus on things which make sense to us. The casting of the seed onto the good soil. The 160 and 30-fold increase. Those are things that make sense to us. But God's reckless abandon in casting seed, regardless of where it goes, is in stark contrast with our careful control, our attempt to be in charge. God's reckless abandon leads to situations where seeds are sown and unimagined change occurs. God does not operate according to our plans or desires, but operates in God's own time, bringing about God's will. So consider for a moment what it is that God does in this parable. God spreads the seed with reckless abandon. And as a result, God and everyone else is surprised. Surprised by joy when the seeds sprout in unexpected places. Brueggemann again writes, "There are very few folk left to tell truth among us, and even fewer to tell hope among us. So I bid you imagine that your congregation is one of those rare places in your town or city where the truth can be told about militarism, about consumerism, about anti-neighborliness, about violence. And your congregation is one of the few venues where hope can be told. A love that will not let us go because our hope is in no other save in God alone. Your congregation is one of few venues where the truth can be told about racism and economic injustice. Because your congregation is one of the few venues where the seeds so lavishly spread by the sower can be seen taking root and bearing fruit. God's reckless abandon in spreading seeds without regard for where they land is an example of God's abundant grace and extravagant mercy. It's why we sing, "There's a wideness in God's mercy, like the wideness of the sea. There's a kindness in God's justice, which is more than liberty. There is no place where earth's sorrows are more felt than up in heaven. There is no place where earth's failings have such kindly judgment given." We sing to remind ourselves when we're prone to forget. We sing that God's great mercy is wider than the sea. So even in the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of the uncertainty, in the midst of the worry and grief and sorrow and fear, if we will but pay attention, we'll see the seeds of God's grace and mercy are sprouting all around us. And when we see that, may we lift up our thanksgiving for them as we work with God to bring about God's kingdom and the change in the world that God desires. Friends, I challenge you, as you have the opportunity, spread the seeds of God's grace and mercy with reckless abandon and rejoice when the harvest comes. Amen.